great. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb.
Well, Dick, where you at?
Oh, that's why they call me country.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
My name is Mark Cimelli. I love Bird. I love that Bird. He's a great guy. Fred looks fantastic. He looks 20 years younger. I don't know what he's done.
You know, they're in their...
This ain't drunken recap, this. My name is Mark Cimelli.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. By the way, Mark Cimelli claiming to Nick Cimelli that he had one drink at that point.
My name is Mark Cimelli.
Which I don't believe.
I've never heard him speak, sober or otherwise, I don't know if that's how he sounds.
I would hope he was feeling good.
I do know that at the beginning of it, you can hear the drink actually clanking.
Yes, it was on the rocks. You can definitely tell that. And my theory that it was a cola-based drink, that was the mix, was dead on.
Okay.
According to Nick Cimelli. Well, a lot to talk about today. To start with the Bruins and an opportunity to walk away with the conference yesterday, and looked awful. Rass looked awful.
Tired. It's a team that's just, they're just tired right now. And you're wondering, don't you just start resting, guys? It doesn't matter to you.
Well, this is what I've been saying all along.
Yeah.
Because I've been saying that I don't care if they win the conference. They were so thoroughly outplayed. You know, you're reintroducing guys into the lineup that I would play Hudobe in half the remaining games.
Mm-hmm.
I would rest players. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Hudobin's going to get at least one start because they have that back-to-back Saturday, Sunday.
You should get two.
I know, but I think you should get two.
Right.
I don't think that's crazy. I think that, you know, the big complaint about Rask going into the playoffs every year is that he's been overlooked. Or overworked, rather. So, yeah, I would give Hudobin two starts.
I want to see a lot of Colin Cave over the next few weeks. Wasn't that his first name?
Well, they only have three games left. So, yeah, Cave would be, I'm sure, will play one. But
I was looking at the lines, and I'm like, Cave, all right.
He's the guy
right.
that they called up.
That's
yeah.
right.
You have to play McAvoy to get him back in a game shape. You have to kind of play Chara as he's working his way back in.
I don't
in.
Think you have to play Chara.
I think you limit Chara's minutes, but you have to play him. You got a lot of guys that are just coming back from injury. I mean, they were missing a lot of people over the last 3 weeks.
Rick Nash,
you are reintroducing people into the lineup.
Rick Nash is skating, so he'll be back for the playoffs, but he's not going to play before then. I don't think Chara's at a stage in his career where he needs to be reintroduced to the lineup. I think that he's at a stage in his career where he can take a day off here and there. You know, if it comes down to the last game of the season, I'm not playing. I'm calling up everybody I can from the HL.
I almost think having Chara out there is more of a benefit to McAvoy, getting his feet underneath him. You're right, limit his minutes, but I mean, there is a benefit to Charlie McAvoy by having him out there.
Fair enough, but I don't need the benefit because I don't care if I win or lose as much as I want to stay healthy and rested.
Sure, and I think
McAvoy, I mean, it's not like McAvoy is going to, you know, crap his pants if Chara's not out there. So get McAvoy, get his legs under him. That's great. But I'm resting, guys.
And I was wildly disappointed with the quality of Nesson Plus yesterday. It was actually fine. I think they were ready for this one. I think we kind of crapped on them enough.
You heard they heard.
Yeah. That they called in the backups.
Right.
It wasn't automated.
I would imagine it was still automated. You still got some pink screen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was, like, during, like, several plays, all of a sudden it would just go to, like, some weird blue Like, yeah. it was almost like someone was filming a video screen, and then it would go back.
The way it's set up, I'm told, you can't take the computer out of the driver's seat at this point.
But yeah, they went to save money. I don't know why you send two announcers out there. I don't know why you don't go with a full crew. Why they decided to automate it, that they thought that they could shave so much money off the budget on the, what, five times that they have to do this usually? If it's a deep playoff run for the Bruins, isn't it worth your time and money to have the Red Sox, since you own them, Red Sox mm-hmm. on the Nesson Plus?
You would mm-hmm. think so, but Nesson's been weird all year. Like, they still can't get the transition at the end of the game to the studio right.
On either Nesson Plus or Nesson.
It's like,
still get the little trip thing when Dave O'Brien throws it back to the studio. You get that little click where actually O'Brien gets louder.
Yeah.
And then when Jack Edwards throws it back to Dale Arnold in the studio, it's like he's talking into a tin can.
And that's like,
it's very weird.
Every period they do that with the Bruins games, and you're right, it's with the Red Sox broadcast as well. And that's something that's only been happening for like the last 2 years. Like before that, I don't ever remember that happening. So I don't know what's going on. It's
Dale
not like
Arnold's
they don't have
box that he stands on got very, it clicks with electrical equipment.
I guess so. It must. To get that height advantage, unfortunately, there's cords that get severed in the process.
Yeah, when you're putting in the box.
Yeah. But that is, I mean, but there's no excuse for that. I mean, the amount of money that's been sunk into Nesson, how come they can't get the sound quality
weird.
Right?
I
don't get it. I don't understand it.
How much money has been put into Nesson, though?
Oh, it's worth a ton. Like I have to find out the value of Nesson.
All because of the broadcast rights.
You're sure?
I mean, that would be what it is.
Sure. Right.
Because it's not like they're putting a lot of money into the product.
You have the but you have the Red Sox. You know,
I understand that, but I don't think they put a lot of money into the non-Red Sox, non-Bruins.
Yeah, the broadcast is not like, you don't have four or five guys spotted throughout the ballpark. You don't have over-the-top, high-def resolution things that no
sure.
one else has.
But you also don't have any programming during the day. Like, to my knowledge.
What about I'm catching fish?
I know, I'm sawing a boat in half, and I'm putting it back together
That's Comcast.
My infomercials wrong.
What's that show, Look at Me, I'm Catching Fish, and I'm Crazy?
Charlie Moore. That costs a ton to make. What's wrong with you?
Well, there's one camera
in a boat.
I don't think Nesson pays for the making of that. I think that's a Charlie Moore production.
When is
that on?
I think when sports aren't on.
Yes.
I think they just randomly throw it on the air.
Yeah. I saw Charlie Moore, actually, talking about saving money, I saw Charlie Moore hosting like a Bruins show the other day.
What's the other show they got?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, really? No, seriously, the Bruins windbreaker on, it was weird. I don't know fully what it was about, I only clicked by it, but I saw Charlie Moore hosting like a Bruins theme something.
They got that other show, look, here's some food, and hey, sports!
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that costs a lot to produce. Yeah, that's
it's one camera in a restaurant focused on two people.
Yeah,
I don't know what sports has to do with it.
Well, what does sports have to do? Well, you obviously have not watched the show.
No, I have to admit that
they have
the
sports celebrities in their favorite restaurants. So how does this taste?
I wonder what Bork picked.
I'll give you a hint. It might be a place that he's always plugging that's in the North End.
Ray Bork promotes his restaurant more than any human being promotes anything in the entire world. He did a commercial for something else
mm-hmm.
here at the radio station, which I believe he's got to be compensated for.
Yes.
And he managed to slide in his restaurant as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's Nesson Plus is not the greatest. There's no question about it, nor were the Bruins last night. Obviously, we'll talk about the Patriots and the trade they made and the possibility that they'll trade up to get a quarterback, which I'm sure is going to make everyone there very happy.
You want hatred on Twitter? Just mention that. Seriously.
Mention
could trade the two first-round picks for Odell Beckham. Mention that they could now trade the two first-rounders in the high second, jump up into the top 15 or 12 to get a quarterback. Just wait for the hatred on social media. It's fantastic.
So, hang on. I read something yesterday. Is Paxton Lynch here in Foxborough working out with Alex Guerrero?
I know he's working with him. I don't know if it's necessarily here.
Okay, well then, I mean, I doubt Guerrero's going to leave here. He's got all of his guys. I know that Rob Gronkowski is still working out at the TB12 mm-hmm. Center. There's pictures of him there. So you think that Guerrero went out to Denver to work with him?
I don't know if he did or he didn't. I'm just saying I don't have no specific confirmation that Lynch is here.
Yeah, so I mean,
so even if he is here, what's it matter?
Well, I mean, the recruiting is starting. It's showing that more people are looking what Tom Brady is doing.
Lynch? Paxton Lynch is in his second year.
I'm not talking about recruiting for the Patriots. Oh. I'm talking for the TB12
Oh,
Center.
I see. To expand the brand nationwide.
To expand the brand. I mean, okay. It's like now you've got guys in the NFL who are like, all right, well, whatever Tom Brady's doing, I want a piece of it. And, you know, Rob Gronkowski continues to spread the word as well. But, you know, there's young quarterbacks now who are looking at Tom and saying, I want what he's got. And I find that to be very interesting with everything that's going on. He's becoming more powerful amongst players, and you've got somewhat of a rift going on right now with the Patriots organization, so you wonder what the other players in the Patriots are going to be thinking about the whole thing. This is a weird situation that everything that's happened in the offseason can be traced back to Alex Guerrero and the situation with him. And
Brandon Cooks being traded?
No, not Brandon Cooks being traded. Okay. Although there was apparently rumors of Brandon Cooks going to Tom Brady, or Tom Brady going to Brandon Cooks. Now, this is just a rumor. This is nothing that's been vetted in any way, but I'd heard from somebody who was kind of close to the team say that Tom Brady was going to Brandon Cooks and saying, hey, you should come to the TB12 Center, and there was pressure on Brandon Cooks to think that I better do what he's doing if I want to get more passes.
There it is. Cooks didn't go, and look what happened to him. Didn't go, and Brady went to management and, you know, gave the big thumbs down
that
like
could
a
be
gladiator.
It.
We've actually talked about that on the air before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was that story that said that there were star players on the team that happened to. I had just heard Brandon Cook's name being floated out there. Once again, not vetted, just that was
I think we talked about that on the air.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so a gigantic show today. So big. And possibly Eddie Money being interviewed by Dan Rather. That occurred.
Well, Dan Rather's just saying, I'm interviewing any, like, washed-up rock star you can put in front of me. I don't want to say washed-up, just old-school. Like, he's interviewing Geddy Lee of Rush.
Well, that's not
There's
bad.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That guy's multi-platinum and has done arenas recently. Eddie Money's just like, what do you want out of me?
Watched the Rush documentary yesterday.
Yeah, you
Which
did.
Which one?
Not the older one, the one that they did a couple of years ago.
On the Lighted Stage, or is that what it was called?
No, there's another one they just did 2 years ago.
Yeah, they did one about 10 years ago, and then they did one 2 years
ago. Right, they did one 2 years ago. They followed him on tour, and Neil Peart went through, you know, how he has to be the best drummer in the world and won't step behind a kid unless he is.
Is that him on the motorcycle? Is that the one?
Yes, that's the one.
Well, that's Beyond the Lighted Stage,
too. Then this one had a shot of him on a motorcycle as well.
Yeah, he doesn't ride in the bus. He rides motorcycle.
Yeah, no, this is a little different.
Yeah. All right, we'll catch up with everything that happened yesterday because there was a lot. But first, here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors.
Kutcher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Kutcher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Kutcher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, Brandon Cooks, it was fun while it lasted.
Tom off the snap, drops back, he pumps, he throws it left. He's looking for Cooks in the end zone. It's caught!
Is he it?
It's a touchdown! It's Patriots!
Do you ever learn anything down in... Where were we for that Super Bowl? Was that Houston? Yeah.
It was Houston.
We learned something that day,
Stadium.
Didn't we?
We learned it the sixth game we did together against New Orleans.
You never.
The 2013, the Kenbrell Tompkins game.
You never count this kid out. Houston is dead. The defense is dead. They are gassed.
Well, after trading for him last year for the 32nd overall pick in the draft, Bill Belichick just traded Brandon Cooks to the Rams for the 23rd pick in the draft because, of course, he did. As part of the deal, New England also sent a fourth-round pick to L.A.
Hey, that's value. That's nine spots higher.
It's amazing. Yeah, of course it is. They rent him for a year, and they get a better pick
you
in the draft.
You turned him around. You got more money on the dollar there. It's great.
They receive a sixth-round pick as well, number 198 overall from the Rams. Brandon Cooks entering the last year of his contract. He was due $8.5 million this season. And now, according to reports, all this talk about the Rams' interest in Odell Beckham Jr. was all a smokescreen for their actual interest in Brandon Cooks. Here's Adam Schefter on how everything went down.
The truth of the matter is the Los Angeles Rams have been talking to the New England Patriots for about a month. And it was just last week that the Rams were connected to Odell Beckham Jr. as they were doing their due diligence. But the truth of the matter is Brandon Cooks was the receiver that they were eyeing all along. And they've been talking to the Patriots. Those conversations stepped up in recent days. Yesterday, Sean McVay, the Rams head coach, and Bill Belichick the Patriots head coach, were at a coaching clinic together in Georgia. They spent time together. I think those two men had a real breakthrough in these trade talks that consummated a short time ago, with the trade paperwork being turned in, with the three picks involved, and the New England Patriots now with double first-round picks and double second-round picks in prime position to move up in the draft if they so choose.
Okay, so regarding Adam Schefter, after the news broke yesterday, he tweeted, quote, the New England trading Brandon Cooks to L.A. means the Patriots will not be trading Rob Gronkowski this offseason, as some have speculated. Well, first of all, as Mike Giardi from NBC Sports Boston pointed out, Schefter also said Belichick wasn't going to trade Garoppolo, so take that with a grain of salt. And number two, why does this deal mean that Gronkowski isn't going to be traded? I don't understand what one has to do with the other. Why they are exclusive.
Just a squad of wide receivers that gets dangerously thin.
Okay, but
or
doesn't
a squad
mean
of receivers
not,
that get dangerously
but
thin.
But that doesn't mean there's not moves to be made.
No, of course. Belichick is capable of anything at any time.
Okay, well, then why say that? Then why say that this means Rob Gronkowski is safe?
Because Schefter probably knows something.
Well, Schefter said that Garoppolo wasn't going to get traded.
You're not going to hit 100%. By the way, according to the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart.
Yes.
The 23rd pick and 31st pick could move you to number 9.
Perfect.
Which is the San Francisco pick. And Mike Lockhart in the other room finds it more likely that they would, if you trade up, or you could use the two picks to get a veteran, which is what you would think, because if they don't, then they're playing for the future. They're loading up for the future.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the most Belichick thing ever to stay where they are and take that linebacker from Boise State and an offensive tackle from Notre Dame.
Oh, that linebacker from Boise State. You're not talking about the guard from Notre Dame.
No, that's the guy that can go in the top 10. There's some guy, McGlinchey, who is, I think his name is, it's like a tackle that I've been looking at all these mock drafts. Well, some have him available near the end of the first round.
Well,
you
need Johnny Expert.
Yeah.
No expert.
Coming
at all.
In
there. The
expert
from
in
Boise
the other
State.
Room. Yeah, that's another guy that was tied to the Patriots near the end of the first round. Apparently, he has zipped up draft boards and will be gone by early 20s now.
Okay.
So, who knows?
The kid
knows
from Boise State.
There's a linebacker from Boise State that everybody likes.
And the jabroni from Notre Dame.
I think it's Notre Dame or is it tackle.
I'll say this. Whatever you do, however, do not talk about packaging those two picks.
No.
To go get Odell Beckham Jr. On Twitter, as John Wallach learned.
No. A lot of hate. A lot of hate for just mentioning that. A lot of hate. And
why was everyone so mad?
They don't want Odell Beckham. It would be such a catastrophically bad move for the Patriots.
Well, I don't want him for two number one picks, if that's or two first round picks.
I mean, the amount of anger that I got back for just mentioning that should have been like a 5 and half of it kidding. I got like an 8 or 9 as far as hatred is concerned for just mentioning it. Well, but then again, Twitter's a bad place to begin with.
I don't say. Brandon Cooks, he was one of those guys that didn't really get enough credit for what he did on paper. He was pretty damn impressive. 65 receptions, 1,082 yards, 7 TDs, but because there were several instances that we can all remember that it seemed like he didn't fight for the ball, and because he was a pretty quiet guy media-wise, he never really was a fan favorite. So taking a look at the depth chart now, you got Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, Malcolm Mitchell, Kenny Britt, Cordarrelle Patterson, Riley McCarron, and Cody Hollister. How are you feeling about that group right now?
Well, it's no funny, other moves. You add Gronk, it looks a lot better.
Yeah, but people are saying that it's a deep receiving core, and you look at it and you go, what are you talking about?
If
yeah.
Malcolm Mitchell can stay healthy,
there's
maybe
a lot of
you can say
okay,
Edelman and Hogan are decent
Edelman
to good.
Edelman and Hogan are decent to good,
yes.
And then it's all unknown.
Yeah, Dorsett, Mitchell, and
no.
Britt? I mean, how much confidence do you have in any of those three guys?
Mitchell, when he played his rookie year, showed signs of something.
Sure.
If you get him healthy for a
he's
full year,
book club with
he's
the
a third.
Ladies.
Right, he's a decent third option, but with Gronk out there, everybody looks better. You take everyone up a peg because you get single coverage across the board. So it makes it a lot easier.
Talking about the wide receiver core.
Yes.
It's not overly impressive.
It's not a bunch of all pros.
It sounds like they're going back to dink and dunk.
But
that's what
look,
it sounds like
if
to
you
me.
Take Cooks out of there, how much does that really damage you?
A decent amount.
With Gronk on the field, healthy.
Well,
the
you don't have Amendola.
Okay.
And you don't have Cooks. So you lost a valuable slot receiver and you lost
a vertical threat.
Your only vertical threat.
Yep. That's right. Cooks, I guess, tied for the NFL lead in catches of passes thrown 20 yards or more. I don't know. They track this stuff. He had 16 catches on balls thrown 20 yards or more that tied for the league lead.
How the hell do you... What is this all coming
passes
from?
Passes that go 20 yards or more.
I understand.
How did I figure it out?
No, I read it somewhere. That. No, I know. I'm saying, where is this all being read? I like that. You that I'm so stupid. Pass is going 20 yards or more?
Yeah, you dumbass.
What's wrong with you?
Am I not speaking English? What's your problem?
It's pass is going
up.
20 yards or more.
627.
No, seriously. Where is all this information coming from?
It's an ESPN story detailing the trade this morning.
Oh, because I'll tell you what. If you want to look at that, Los Angeles, if you go by on paper what they've done, they've gotten Robert Quinn, they got Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, and Sue.
Yeah, Dominic and Sue.
Yep. So on paper, and Cooks, on paper, this looks like a juggernaut.
However, as we all know, winning the offseason doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Also,
watching what the Patriots did last year.
You can also look at a team and say that there's might be a lot of attitude problems.
And they are apparently dangerously thin at linebacker.
Sure.
And they just lost their first-round draft pick.
But it sucks because the reason I want to see Odell Beckham Jr. go there is so that locker room would completely blow up with a young coach.
Like sure.
Cooks is a good soldier. I don't think he ever missed a practice last year. You never heard anything
Sue,
bad about him.
You have Peters.
And Talib. Yeah, right. I mean, there's going to be attitude in there.
Sue's
what's
poison.
One more?
Peters is poison.
What's one more?
I mean, Kansas City...
Talib shooting people?
Throw him in there.
Kansas, shoot himself.
Kansas yeah. City didn't get rid of Peters because he wasn't good.
Yeah.
I mean, they got rid of him because he was a huge pain in the ass.
I think if you're the Rams and you were close this past season and you're loading up, I mean, apparently they have a boatload of cap space in 2019 to re-sign some of these guys. So
maybe they could get the linebacker from Boise State.
Yes.
Yeah. I just know that I'm looking at that wide receiver depth chart. It's not making me feel much better. Obviously,
everyone's saying how deep it is.
That's insane. You got Amendola and Cooks gone, and what you have left is Edelman, Hogan, and you're right, a bunch of question marks. Dorsett, Mitchell, Britt, Cordarrelle Patterson, and then...
Well, Cordarrelle Patterson's going to be primarily a kick returner.
Sure, yeah, he's
a wideout like Slater. He's a wideout in name only. So you have to hope Mitchell is healthy. And I bet you the Patriots' spin will be...
And Edelman's coming back from injury.
Right, but the Patriots' spin will be if Gronkowski is out there... Everyone on that wide receiver depth chart goes up a notch.
We're playing dink and dunk.
Yes, and and you know what? They didn't have Brandon Cooks for a long time, and they were pretty successful.
Sure.
All right.
It's
all exciting times, and you look at and the draft will be very fun.
It is wild that they've got this many picks. That's two first rounders, two second rounders, a third rounder. You got two sixth rounders and a seventh rounder.
Wow.
And he's trading them all down.
Two sixth rounders, huh? Yeah. Look who we can get with those guys.
That's value, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
That's value. Okay. The Bruins played last night. They did not play well. We'll talk about that. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady and the Best Buddies at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com.
Oh, the Bruins get their doors blown off in Tampa.
Krejci's there first. He centered DeBrusk. Just couldn't pull the triggers. Momentum carried too far away. 2-on-1. Miller over the line right side. He fires. He scores. He picks the top far corner on Tuukka Rask. May have looked him off. He had Tyler Johnson coming up the right side. And the Lightning have added on. They lead 4-0.
Well, that wasn't pleasant. In a game that the Bruins could have all but secured first place in the playoffs, Boston drops a deuce on the ice and gets absolutely hammered. 4-0, the final score. Despite the fact that this was the game that saw the return of Charlie McAvoy after being out for 15 games, the Bruins were outplayed from the start, but it was the second period that the full-on blitz began.
Callahan right circle. Centered. Rask the save. Rebound. They score. Chris Kunitz looked like he followed up and stuffed in that loose puck. And the Lightning have a 3-0 lead over the Bruins.
Three goals scored in that period. There would be no miracle comeback after that we've been so accustomed to. Here's Patrice Bergeron afterwards.
A lot of plays that, I don't know if it's urgency, but a lot of plays that we should have made defensively, and it's a lot of what we did, but I don't know if it's the urgency, but I think it's the way that we didn't respect the game plan, obviously.
And then there's Tuukka Rask, who may or may not be dripping with sarcasm here.
I thought I played pretty good. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, I think he's obviously joking.
No, if you read the rest of the... Yeah, his quote. Yeah,
no.
He says... But this is a phrase I had not heard before, which I guess it's about playing bad, but he's like, I got a good workout there tonight. I guess we all did. I assume a good workout means that you
did it all for nothing with no result. I guess
they got worked over.
No, I mean, if you're me, you get mad results right away. Sure. It's more vascular and long muscle.
Yeah, if you can get the full quote, I wouldn't mind hearing that.
Okay, I have
because there's going to be people who unjustifiably. He's obviously being sarcastic.
Here is the quote.
Okay,
it was a good workout, at least for me. So I guess that's a phrase that's some hockey phrase that I'm not privy to. They got the better start. You look at the score 4-0, and they were definitely the better team. I don't think it was necessarily a 4-0 game, but I donated them a goal there. And the first 30 minutes, they were on top of us. They were definitely the better team. So obviously, he knows he did not play well.
But you know what people are going to latch on to.
I thought I played pretty good.
They're going to think it's a Clay Buchholz situation.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. You know, if you took
I
it
lost
just
7
at that,
pounds out there.
Yeah, that was so great. Yeah, boy, Buchholz was awesome.
I lost 7 pounds.
Out on the mound.
Because, you know, when you're that big, you got to keep weighing yourself.
Right. Right. He lost half his body weight.
Sure. Yeah, he lost half his That's right.
Well, that loss pulled the Bolts into a points tie with the Bruins at 110, with the Bruins have a game in hand. So the Lightning hold the first tiebreaker in regulation overtime wins by one. Plus, they have 2 games left at Buffalo on Friday and at home against Carolina on Saturday. The Bruins have 3 left at Florida tomorrow and then at home against Ottawa on Saturday. And then they're going to be the only one playing on Sunday against Florida in that makeup game. So
hopefully Florida has nothing to play for. But then again, I don't care. I don't. The Bruins basically have nothing to play
for. Well, essentially, if they capture 5 of their last 6 points, they'll win the East, yes. But who the hell knows? They look tired last night, and right now I'd rather have these guys resting.
I agree. I felt that way for a long time. Dave, go ahead.
I mean, we can agree with the fact that they had McAvoy in last night. Last night's game was about as close to a playoff game as they've had all season as far as going out there wanting to win, something on the line, and Tuukka gave up 4. They weren't all his fault, but, I mean, Tuukka going down or... You know, crapping the bed in the playoffs is our biggest fear. It was last night kind of indicative of maybe what we hopefully not, but can expect to see from Tuukka when the games are on the line.
He's been very, very good for a very long time, and last night he let in a couple long shots.
No one was good.
Well,
Bergeron had that block.
That was crazy.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah. That was crazy. Cassidy makes the point, and I don't think it's ridiculous, that the young players on this team got to experience a playoff atmosphere, and, you know, losing in that circumstance maybe isn't the worst thing in the world for them, because they realize now that it's going to be tough. I mean, that's putting a positive spin on things, but I don't think it's necessarily crazy saying that. But I'm not overly concerned again with any of this. I just want the Bruins to be healthy.
Here's Bruce Cassidy, by the way, afterwards.
You know, we had a day away from the rink yesterday, so there's really no excuse not to come out with some energy tonight. I thought they had more than us. That was apparent early on. Our execution was off. That happens sometimes when you're not practicing much, which we haven't. But, you know, we should have been able to find our game quicker, I think, and the urgency level for them was higher than ours at the end of the day. And
well, the Oregon player just continuing to play as... Cassidy usually speaks how long after the game?
Oh, like 10 minutes.
Is the Oregon player just sitting there masturbatorily playing?
Yeah, we had a day away from the rink yesterday, so there's really no excuse not to come out with some energy tonight. I thought they had more than us. That was apparent early on.
Maybe that's some of like Tuukka's weird like music selections in the locker room.
Yeah, he plays the he loves.
Someone's got the old boombox over Tuukka's locker.
He loves the Norwegian death metal.
Right.
No, it just sounds like the Oregon player's like got a chick up there, and he's like, "Yeah, baby,
check out what I got.
Check out how loud this song is.
Want to hear Subdivisions by Rush? I can do it." Well, also some bad news yesterday that we all knew was coming. Don Sweeney made it official that Brandon Carlo has been diagnosed with a fractured left ankle. He is done for the regular season and the playoffs. That kind of sucks. So next up, the Bruins take on the Panthers in Florida tomorrow night. That's going to be interesting.
And Florida has something to play for.
Yeah, they do. Where are they right now? Are they wild card? Are they in or are they just hanging out?
No, they're hanging out.
Okay.
They're at the... I knew you were going to ask me this. Hang on a second.
But they're fighting to get in.
Stand by. Yes, okay. They're fighting to get in. And as of this morning, if this damn thing would load, They are 4 points behind Philadelphia with three to go for that last spot.
You know what's kind of scary is that Florida is by far the most physical team in the NHL, and if you look at fighting, the guy who took on McQuaid has got 21 or 22 fighting majors, which is more than some teams.
Jeez, man.
So, half the team. Yeah. So they fight a lot, and they're very, very aggressive. Can't you see in that last game?
Oh, sure.
Them just going hog wild and just taking guys out.
Sure. They got nothing to play for?
Why not?
Like, if they're out? Yeah.
If they're out, just going nuts.
Sean Thornton will have made the trip up from Florida. He works there for the front office. They have his arms folded up on the ninth floor going, yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
That game's scary. I mean, if they got nothing to play for and they're that physical a team and they're just like, hell, this is it. We're done after this game. You might as well just, take your chances.
Florida has... Oh, my God.
Yeah, I told you.
Florida has 49 fighting majors this year, which is 18 more than second place.
Yeah. Jeez, man.
Yeah, they fight all the time.
That's
game,
tremendous.
See,
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's
they
fantastic.
Fight constantly.
And oh my God.
So this next game tomorrow doesn't scare me that much because they still got to try.
Right. The guy you're talking about, out. His name is Michael Haley. He's got 22 fighting majors, which is 9 more than anybody else in the league this year.
Yeah. He's the guy who McQuaid beat the hell out of. So he'll probably want a piece of someone again.
No, in a sick way, I really want to see this.
It's
going to
be like Slapshot.
Sunday night at the Garden.
Yeah.
Everyone show up.
It's going to be Slapshot. That's exactly what it's going to be. It's gonna be a free for all.
He's not even that big. He's like 5'10".
It doesn't matter. Ty Domi, how big was Ty Domi? It doesn't matter how big you are. Yeah,
he's 32, 5'10", 200 pounds, and just said, "I'm fighting."
Yeah, Bruins had fighting a guy right of PJ Stock who was 5'5" or whatever he was.
Oh, Domi, yeah. Joey Kosher, I think was.
Not everybody has to be John Scott to get involved here.
Scott was huge in Probert was huge. But yeah, I suppose we will talk some about the Celtics.
Also, that was an interesting game.
Yep.
Also, I heard an explanation of a song that's a famous song that I had no idea had such overtly sexual tones.
Okay.
So we can talk about that, but first we'll talk about the Celtics. We'll be right back. 985 Sports Up. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, the Celtics is severely underhanded.
And now underwhelming.
Undermanned is what you would say. There is undermanned.
Yes, especially when you hear. And now your starting point guard for the Boston Celtics, Kadeem Allen.
Roll it into Tatum. 30 seconds to go. Boston down 5. Tatum, offensive end, switches the right hand dribble, blows Matt Parker and slams it with the right hand.
Man, that was quick pass and hurry.
Inbound to Middleton, and he's got to get the timeout as the Celtics have made it a 3-point game again. Why? Because it's this team. That's why.
No, the Boston Celtics have been an unbelievable tear the past several weeks, pulling wins out of their butt with a ridiculous number of their stars injured. But even Brad Stevens couldn't make a team with no point guard get a win last night. 106-102 in their loss to Milwaukee. So without Kyrie or Marcus Smart, with Shane Larkin recovering from the flu, it was announced yesterday that Terry Rozier would not be in the lineup as well. So Stevens had to say, hey, what up, Red Claws? Let's get Kadeem Allen up here. And he was your starting point guard. But despite all of that, the Celtics, they still had a chance against the Greek Freak yesterday with less than 30 seconds left to go.
Al Horford turns, drives to the free throw line, picks up his dribble. They're looking for Tatum. He's got it in the corner, but he stepped out of bounds. He was checking his feet to see if he could run into the corner and shoot a three. Instead, he steps out of bounds, and that should just about do it. For anybody else in the league, it would do it. For the Celtics team, you got to hold your breath one more beat. Down 5 with 9.2 to go.
Yeah, they didn't have it in them. But in the end, fifth string doesn't cut it. Here is Jason Tatum afterwards.
You know, it was just one of those nights. I feel like we missed a lot of easy shots. Everybody. It was just tough one to lose.
Little Barry White there.
Yeah.
His voice getting deeper as the season goes on.
Because he's the big veteran now. You know, everyone's out, so he's got to take a leadership role by being very sullen and deep-throated.
Well, the Celtics, by losing last night, missed out on an opportunity to gain some ground on Toronto, who lost in Cleveland. But Toronto,
tonight would have been, if the Celtics had won last night, tonight would have meant everything.
Sure, of course. But Toronto and the Celtics, they do go head-to-head tonight at the Air Canada Center. They remain two games behind the Raptors, and tip-off is at 8 p.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Their win streak ends at 6. So there you go. That was a, I mean, it was fun to watch. Did you hear the crowd chanting Bucks in 6?
Yeah, I did at the end.
Yeah,
I mean, at the end. All right. Okay. The scary thing was I thought the Celtics would really have trouble defending on the perimeter. Bucks were horrible from deep.
Al Horford did a good job on Giannis yesterday. I thought he did a pretty good job.
Well,
you held him to under 30. That's a pretty good job.
Antetokounmpo had 29, 11, and 6.
Yeah.
You know, it's good, but the problem was the Bucks, I think, scored 50 or 60 points in the paint. That's the problem. Anytime that Milwaukee decided to settle for a jumper, the Celtics were fine. Anytime they tried to take it to the rim, Celtics had a lot of trouble. And they were fully stocked with big guys last night. That's the problem in a playoff series against this team. That's something you have to watch. And there was only one time during the game where I saw the Celtics, the lack of a point guard really hurt them. It's late in the game, and Eric Bledsoe's dribbling the ball up top. Tatum had to go cover him, and so Bledsoe blew right by him for a layup, and that turned out to be big.
This first round, man, who knows what the hell's going to happen? It's basically just get past the first round. Get Kyrie back and get Marcus Smart back, because I don't know. I don't feel confident against any of those three teams that are hovering there at the bottom of the standings.
Yeah, well, Miami, I think now there's a three-way tie for sixth. I think Miami, Milwaukee, and Washington are now all tied for the 6, 7, and 8 spot, so it's still very much up in the air.
Yeah, so, I mean, without those guys, that first round, there's no guarantee you're going to get past that. As good as Brad Stevens has been in a 7-game series, what's to think that they're not going to be able to figure him out?
The low post presence of Milwaukee was dangerous last night. I still say Spoelstra's dangerous to face in a playoff series, regardless of how much better you might be.
I'm the only one
Miami.
Who doesn't like the Washington
and
matchup,
Washington, I'm not convinced they can play well without Wall in a playoff series. Or even if Wall comes back, I think that's very dysfunctional.
Well, it wasn't pretty, but the Red Sox are the first team in the majors to have 5 wins.
Line shot into left field. Dietrich back. It's over his head out of the track. Betts is in to score. Benintendi coming around. He will score. Hanley comes through again in Miami. He loves it here, and the Red Sox lead it 4-2
final score and extra innings in Miami. Hanley Ramirez has been having himself a hell of a week. Coro got only 15 outs from Chris Sale last night, but was able to piece together the rest of the game with Bobby Pointer, Carson Smith, Joe Kelly, Craig Kimbrell, Matt Barnes, and Heath Embry, who closed out the win. Hanley Ramirez obviously very happy about how things went down.
We don't give up. Even that they come back and tied up the game, you know, we're still fighting out there. Our pitching staff, you know, been great, and, you know, keep going.
So here we go. The home opener is tomorrow afternoon. Time to dust off Dr. Charles and Dick Flavin. Let's go, baby. I wonder if Big Poppy will make an appearance. Huh? You think he might? Everyone
Flavin.
Loves the Sox.
Flavin.
Well, he was there 2 nights ago.
Get your ass out there, Flavin. So, Rich, you're going to this game?
Yeah. I'm going to go for several innings. I'm probably going for like 4 or 5 innings. I'm not going to stay for the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm going.
Are you
going with Rich?
Yep. Oh, very good. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a afternoon
game. I don't know how
game.
We're getting our tickets or what's going on with that.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out later on today. We get to see the much-beloved David Price take on the Rays. It's going to be at 2:05 tomorrow.
It's going to be about 40 degrees.
Yeah. No, it's not going to be warm at all.
Is it? Is that what they're saying?
Yes.
I remember
in the 40s.
Before we moved here.
Oh, yeah.
I remember before we moved here and finding out that we were moving here and in, like, April.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the television and seeing people in winter coats and going, what the hell is going on?
Yep. It is going to be 39 degrees at 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Both of you.
Have fun.
Interesting.
Well, it was like the company, you know, asked if we wanted to go to the game.
Oh, sure. I want to go. I mean, opening day, it's something I'd
enjoy.
I would like to go.
And if I didn't have something I had to do, I would probably have gone also. So
what do you got to do?
I am actually in for Sean Grandy on Friday.
Oh,
very nice.
Baby. You're going on the road? You're going to be in the plane?
Home game against Chicago Friday night.
Oh, so Thursday is just all day play?
Thursday is a study day, yes. Tomorrow's a study day.
So you cannot go to the baseball game?
Cannot go to the baseball
because
game.
Because you need that chunk of time.
Yes. Care and all that stuff, yes. I could not juggle.
How many hours?
For a Bulls-Celtics game
that doesn't mean anything? Yes.
You should just enjoy yourself. My one chance.
Got to make sure I'm good.
It's an 8-mile situation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought you got a playoff game.
I cannot miss my chance to shine.
I thought you have a playoff game.
No, not to my knowledge yet. It's a possibility later this month, but this game I have. Friday against the Bulls, I am in for Sean.
John taking the whole day Thursday to study.
Got to respect that.
Now, what do you get out, the almanac or something?
Get out the old almanac. You know what? You have to wet the fingers when you... No, change your paper.
He's got to put a new glove on when he takes the knife and stabs it in Granny's back.
That's right. So no one can tell who it was who did it.
How many notes do you end up using any of your notes?
Yeah, I write that. You've seen the boards that I've put together, and there's a lot of writing on it. And yeah, I use about 80% of it usually. Yeah.
Well, John, taking it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Big game Friday night. 39 degrees at first pitch. That's fantastic.
I have a feeling the Bulls are going to be going for it that night.
The Bulls have won 3 or 4 in a row. That's the scary part about all of this.
Well, I mean,
they're a horrible team.
Does that matter?
Well, they're playing well. It's going to be a close game, everyone. You'll want to listen in.
Is it on this station? No.
Yes. I don't think. No, the Bruins don't play Friday.
They don't play Friday night.
Bruins
don't
play Friday night. They play Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Friday night.
All right. I will tell you a song that I found out last night has overtly sexual implications. And I will ask you gentlemen if you can think of a song that is covertly sexual.